This is Phantom Island, presented by Home Field Apparel. Ryan Ennie, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you need the entire country to have a successful college sport?
Can I unpack the question a little bit with you?
That's kind of what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, I guess kinda, that is the whole point of the show.
Can I make a podcast with you? Yes, Ryan, you can.
So when you say, do you need the whole country, do you mean just at a base level, does the whole country need to be participating? Or do you mean, does the whole country need to be participating and invested and care and like have emotional and maybe financial weight in it?
For the purposes of today's conversation, yeah. My assumption is that those two things are connected.
Okay.
Is that you can have a casual fan of something maybe in a part of this country where that sport isn't as popular, mm-hmm. but it has to have some level of accessibility.
Presence.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can't be where, you know, if you went into a rural part of the United States and said, all right, guys, we expect to sell 10,000 tickets to a cricket match.
Okay.
It's probably not going to work.
So using the sport that we are most familiar with, college football, this is where we already have this. Because even if you want to get into the like, oh, you know, the West Coast doesn't care about it, this, that, or the other. Like, A, that's fundamentally untrue. Like, Oregon fans, Washington State fans,
yeah.
USC fans.
Washington was in the national championship two years ago.
Like, it's not hard to sort of go through. And if you go a step below that and you talk about like FCS ball in the West Coast and in the Mountain West, like, yeah, people absolutely care about it.
Dakotas, baby.
Montana absolutely cares about football.
There's a little bit of a pretext here, which is in my career covering college football, mm-hmm. when I was like a beat writer and then whatever I became, I don't know. Job titles are sort of beside the point now. I argued vehemently, and still believe this, that you need the whole nation in college football. The college football is at its best.
That, yes.
When the nation is involved.
Yeah, I guess we've never had to think about it in terms of like, can it work? But it certainly is an argument. I think the way that argument got framed in the past was like, it's healthiest for college football if there is that sort of like coast to coast all over these United States participation and interest and investment.
This, to be clear, was not an argument about the SEC or the Big Ten or something. Right. Like, it was actually born specifically out of there was a period in my life when I was working in pro wrestling. I've talked about it a lot, and I was just a college football fan and consumer. Mm-hmm. And starting to expand out into like, oh, I like the whole sport. I want to watch it all. You know, like this is peak Maction. I was like, oh man, you know, ULL's on, and they're playing, you know,
like
whatever.
The Timmy Chang Hawaii team, yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
But so the first time I remember really kind of rolling this argument out was like the disgust and incredulity of very, very traditional boomer aged SEC fans at like, Boise State has a blue turf.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And then, which, by the way, I don't know, like, it wasn't that long ago that I bet if you're listening to this and you are a college sports fan, you had someone in your life, probably older, who was really, really sought off about Oregon changing their uniforms a lot.
Or like...
Is that foil?
Turnover chains.
Yeah, things like, yeah.
I can definitely see, yes, I get how...
Because there's like a 10-year period of like a real like chest-beating Alabama and Nebraska and Penn State fans are like, we would never change our uniforms at all. And Oregon's like, okay. Yeah, we're going to keep doing it.
I've worn the same cardigan every day for 40 years and I'm not changing.
Let's talk about hockey and baseball specifically in college sports.
Okay.
Because as we record this, the College World Series is happening.
Yep.
And the reason we're going to pair these two sports together today is they're both television properties. They're both really, really passionately celebrated, what would we call it, IRL experiences in real life.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
The attendance of and the environment around these events is well spoken of to a fault. I've never heard someone go to the Frozen Four, go to the College World Series and say they had a bad time.
These are, I would say maybe not at the top, but these, like if you ask people for their, like, I hate this term, but sports bucket list, like Omaha or the Frozen Four, probably on there.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about these specifically as men's sports. Don't worry, because women's sports is going to make sort of a hilarious, like Kool-Aid man entrance into an argument. So If anyone out there, if you have a boomer in your life who's discounting the relevance of women's sports, just wait until I run down some of these television ratings.
Yep.
Of these two men's sports, both would be, I'll put it this way, the folks who have the TV rights would both love it if these could become more national events.
Makes sense.
Off the rip, as I walk into this conversation and sort of my theory, trying to answer that question, I am acknowledging to anyone listening that while I love hockey and I have been a hockey fan for really no reason, I'm from the Deep South. When I was growing up in D.C., I met other people who were from more hockey-type places of the world, and I thought the sport was cool. I thought the sweaters were cool. I thought the logos were cool. NHL 94 forever. But look, Mikey, Little Wayne's legs are bleeding. Baseball is, well, it was literally the American pastime.
Sure.
Okay, baseball is ubiquitous. Baseball, even in cold weather portions of the country, one might argue is more popular at the MLB level, like Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, Cubs. Most of the dominant legacy brands in baseball come from cold weather areas.
Yeah, I think that's...
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Northeast, Rust Belt, Midwest.
Yes.
So that's the only differentiation I would place between hockey and baseball. I expect baseball to cast a wider net by default. One more time, please don't say anything to me on the internet about this. I really like hockey. I have no problem with hockey. I wear Nashville Predators apparel of my own volition.
But that's your baseline that you're setting us here. Okay, yes. I got you.
All right. Ryan, we're going to start with television viewership only to set a table.
Okay.
I've done this on a few episodes. I'll probably do this again. And I always, anytime we talk about television ratings, I want to be emphatic and like big old caveat. You can manipulate television ratings to look a certain way in any circumstance.
Right.
In those 5 years I didn't work in sports media in my career, I worked for a company that made a television show 52 weeks a year on basic cable. And we would write a press release every single week touting, oh, this 1.2 is better than this 1.1 because males 18 to 34 in our top five markets. Like
from 10:15 till 10:27. Oh my God, you should have seen the graph.
I have been on both sides of this as a journalist receiving this information, but also as a company trying to manipulate or spin or even downplay if there was something going on our television show. We didn't want to renew so-and-so's contract. Like, television ratings
are malleable.
Yeah, not a hard science here, folks.
Sure.
Okay. Asterisk over.
Okay.
Ryan, in 2023, your alma mater helped set a viewership record, an all-time high of total viewers watching a College World Series final. Mm-hmm. Real fast, the College World Series is a collection of eight teams that come out of the larger bracket of 64.
Yep.
Those eight teams go to Omaha, two four-team pods, and at the end, the winner of each pod, or whatever you want to call it, they play a three-game best-of series.
Best of three, yep.
So in that final, the average...
Florida-LSU, yep.
Florida-LSU, your alma mater versus LSU, set a record of 2.86 million viewers, okay?
Cool.
This is, I'm using this to establish a baseline as you listen, as to like how big this sport is nationally.
Yes, right.
All right? Because of that success, in 2024, Disney, so that's ESPN, moved one of the games, one of the finals games in the series to ABC, which is a broadcast network with a bigger natural audience. Yeah. That helped boost the viewership to the average to 2.82. So it finished a little bit lower than Florida LSU, just a scope.
But the average, that's the average, not the peak. Right, okay.
And that was Tennessee versus Texas A&M.
Yeah.
If you're scoring on at home, I've spoken of four SEC teams, two SEC versus SEC finals. In 2024, the Frozen Four drew 458,000 viewers on ESPN2. That game was Denver over Boston College.
Yes, right.
Okay, so that's there roughly thereabouts where those audiences are.
Okay.
Okay, by comparison, I'm not going to put football in this conversation. Football is the American pastime. It crushes all things in the world. The Oscars, a major television series finale, dramatic, reality, scripted. Nothing can compare to football. It's why the NFL is this unwieldy behemoth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to give you a comparison, do you have a guess at like what the audience was for the men's Final Four? The championship game.
Oh, first of all, go Gators. God. Let's try 6 million, 7 million.
The last four men's finals games have drawn between 14 and 17.
Okay, I wasn't even close. Okay. All right.
But to give you an idea of where, like, if we throw football out as a maximum outlier, the next biggest sport is basketball, right?
Yes.
In America.
Yes.
Another American pastime that is played and followed just as passionately in South Florida as it is in Boston,
Wisconsin.
As it is in some nowhere town in flyover country. Yeah. Okay. It's 14 to 17 million. And it's moved networks and times, and one was on like TNT or something. Do you know what the women's final drew just now? The one in 2025, and there's a reason I'm using 2025 for the women's. I'll get there.
I've proven that I'm bad at guessing, so I'm just going to ask you to tell me what the number is.
Again, record-setting men's college World Series final, 2.86 million viewers. Yeah. All right. Frozen Four, about a half million viewers. Yep. This year's game, not featuring Caitlin Clark in Iowa, which a lot of critics of either women's sports or women as a fucking gender and like everyone say, oh, no, that's Caitlin Clark. You got to throw that out. Yeah. That was a phenomenon. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
This year's women's Final Four, 8.5 million viewers.
Wow.
So several times over the biggest college World Series game. The women's basketball final drew a massive number.
Yeah.
Now, that was way down because I think last year when Caitlin Clark was involved, it was in like the teens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they did experience a dip. But compared
but
to other finals.
Still a very large number.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you know what the 2025 Women's College World Series just drew right before we started recording this? Not that this day, but
as
this
an
month.
Average or the deciding game three?
I
know the deciding game three did very good numbers.
The deciding game three is what I pulled, but
that's
the average
fine.
Would be pretty close.
Yeah, go ahead.
A record for a softball game on television, 8.1 million viewers.
Wow. It was a good series, by the way. Game three, not so much, but, I mean, very good series.
Women's softball.
8.1.
Men's baseball. Yeah. Basically the same sport, right? Yeah. We play them at the same time.
You're going to get some comments about that, but I hear what you're saying.
No, but we've always slided the women historically to America in terms of spectator sports.
Yeah, right.
Like, fucking 40 years of stand-up comedy, it was built on like, oh, women playing sports, no one's gonna watch that.
Yeah,
right. So put your WNBA jokes aside, 8.1 million people watched the softball final.
Yeah,
the highest rated college World Series game ever is 2.86 million total viewers.
Yeah.
So before we move on talking about baseball and hockey, I want to acknowledge the women's college sports can already answer my question, which is that it doesn't matter, the phenomenon is bigger than any sort of regionality.
Yes, sure.
And softball is a warm weather dominated sport, just like college baseball is. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that in a second. And the nation is watching.
Yeah.
And if you, for some reason, scoff at 8.1 million viewers, I can tell you, as someone who's done more work than he wants to in the television industry, executives would murder children to get 8.1 million viewers to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the cold and warm aspects of this whole situation. When I talk to people in the sports industry about why isn't the College World Series bigger?
Yeah.
Why aren't more millions of people tuned in?
Yeah.
Or why can't the Frozen Four get bigger?
Yeah.
Well, they're regional sports because of weather.
Okay.
That's what it all goes back to. Okay? Right now, let me go ahead and spoil it. I'm not going to break down like all this stuff for you. There is no outlier Southern college hockey power. If you go through and look at the men's hockey national champions, it's just exactly who you would expect.
Yeah, I'm
upper Midwest,
yeah,
Northeast. Like, if you could in your head treat Denver, Colorado as southernmost, that's pretty much as far as you're getting.
I am looking at Frozen Four appearances all time. Michigan, number one with 28. You scroll down the list and it's like a lot of, like, Harvard's got 13. Here's Wisconsin. Here's Cornell. And I'm going, and I think, and I don't know where all of these schools are, I want to be very clear, but I think the lowest latitude you can find is probably Omaha, who made it in 2015.
Okay. Still snows in Nebraska quite
a bit. Sure, yeah, right, like, right.
We're still, skates make sense.
Right.
Okay. This year, as we record this, the College World Series has an alarmingly low amount of Southeastern Conference teams, a whopping 2. Okay, they had a really bad year in the regionals and super regionals. So Arkansas and LSU, they're also in the same pod. So we're guaranteed not to have an SEC on SEC final for the first time in 3 years. In the SEC, in the championship round, Ryan, to give you an idea of how dominant this men's college baseball is, 18 teams in the SEC made the championship round.
Mm.
over the last 15 seasons, and 9 have won the College World Series.
Okay.
They crush and dominate. Now, the other teams that made it this year who beat a lot of SEC teams along the way are all from warm weather areas. So it could be a UCLA, Arizona. It can also be mid-majors or smaller schools that are also warm weather. So Coastal Carolina, who we should mention, comes from the Sun Belt, but has won a national championship in baseball.
Yeah.
Murray State from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not seeing, like, not only are you not seeing the Big Ten, the traditional Big Ten, because I know UCLA is technically in the Big Ten.
Yes.
But you're also not seeing, like, some small group of five school from, like, the MAC.
Right, right, right. And the other difference, I'm looking at the map now of Division I men's college hockey teams. With one exception, there aren't any really below, like, Colorado.
You want to talk about
Arizona State is the exception.
We're going to talk about Forks Up in a second.
Yeah, okay? But, like, that is also, I think, a key difference. It's like, oh, well, you know, no Southern school or whatever has made it to... Yeah, they don't sponsor men's hockey as a college sport.
Yeah.
They have a lot of, like, I know there are a lot of club teams.
Right.
I know Tennessee has one. I know Florida has one.
Most of the SEC does.
Yes. But this is at least, and we can get into, like, why we think this is, because money is probably also part of it.
Sure.
Like, it's not just like, oh, they have failed to achieve a goal here. It's like, no, they're not playing. They're literally not in this league.
I'm going to go back to baseball for a second.
Yeah.
Because, again, if we assume baseball is the more popular sport in America by default, because, like, no kid in Orlando is going to grow up on ice, okay?
Right.
And well, I mean, I don't know. You go to Epcot enough, I guess.
Like, right. There are 300 Division I schools that have a baseball team by comparison.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break to thank Homefield, the sponsor of this and every episode on the Phantom Island feed. Have you ever found yourself watching a TV show or movie set in a time when people had to wear long dresses and waistcoats and dress shirts and fancy hats every day and thought to yourself, wow, that looks incredibly itchy and hot and uncomfortable? Well, you live now, not then, and you can be a modern-day Mr. Darcy who wears distinctive collegiate apparel instead. Brewed around Pemberley in a Colorado School of Mines Blaster the Burrow hoodie. Write passive-aggressive letters while wearing your University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors t-shirt. Win the heart of Elizabeth Bennett with a hoodie that says Auburn Hoops that has a peacock on it. All these and more can be found at homefieldapparel.com today. Lady Catherine would never, and that's why you should.
Michigan, as an outlier...
Mm-hmm.
I just said Michigan in such a mean way, and maybe that's just the reflex.
That's fine.
Made the final series, made the College World Series final against Vanderbilt in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Massive outlier. The Big Ten pretty much doesn't exist. After 1984, the same Michigan, the same program, makes the College World Series in 84. The Big Ten didn't send another team to Omaha until Indiana in 2013. So that's a gulf of 1984 to 2013. All right.
Okay, yeah.
During that time is also when the SEC grows stronger, but also the warm weather schools in the ACC, and as well just California and what we call the American Sun Belt, not the sports conference in college,
but that's
Arizona, it's California, but anywhere it's warm naturally. Those populations all increase during that period in American history.
Yep.
Those colleges get bigger. There's more colleges, like a Coastal Carolina exists now.
Mm-hmm.
So to look at the landscape now today, it's a totally warm weather dominant sport. And yet, despite being the American pastime, there's a lot of disgruntled Big Ten fans, media, individuals are just like, screw it. We're done with it. And let me walk you through a little bit of the why.
Okay.
That they've tossed sort of the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
This year, by the way, in the entire tournament field, there were 4 Big Ten teams, but I would like to point out who they are. And as we say Big Ten with finger quotes.
Go ahead. I bet I know where most of these
are. Well, 2 are from Los Angeles.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay. USC and UCLA both made the field.
Yeah.
UCLA is in Omaha.
Oregon make the field.
Oregon
as well.
Made the field.
Yeah.
And Nebraska is the only.
Okay.
By the way, Nebraska, not a Big Ten member until what? 2011? 12, I was going
like
to say.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No traditional Big Ten school makes the field at all.
Right.
Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, who I believe has a Big Ten background, he was at the Big Ten baseball tournament, which was in Omaha, weirdly. And I'm just going to read a little piece from an excerpt from what he wrote, I think it was last month. The Big Ten put a respectable 5 teams into the tournament 3 times from 2015 through 19. But it continues to fight an uphill battle. In 2022, Rutgers won 44 games and finished 2nd in the Big Ten, and it did not make a regional. This year, a cascade of non-conference losses in February and March put the Big Ten in an inescapable hole. Only the Nebraska Cornhuskers, in part through some scheduling good fortune, survived with a strong RPI. They played 17 of 18 games in the first 6 weeks of the season against teams that will enter June with top 100 RPIs. And RPI here is the same as basketball.
Yeah.
Nebraska won 12 of those 17. So, Ryan, college baseball season. Do you know what month it starts?
I should know this.
February.
I
can't remember.
Okay, I was going to say January, but I'm
wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a little hard to play to play baseball in Minnesota.
Yeah.
At Rutgers.
Sure.
At Nebraska.
There is a reason why every baseball team sends every Major League Baseball team goes to Arizona and Florida for spring training.
Yeah, funny how that works. So the argument that the Big Ten is making, and I'm not really interested today in saying they're right or they're wrong.
Yeah, sure. It's an observation.
Is just that, just like basketball. So if you don't know anything about college baseball and you're listening to this basketball, you build your RPI usually by starting with a good non-conference schedule or putting yourself in a position to play good teams, win or lose.
Yeah.
The problem is that the Big Ten can't really do that because it's cold outside and you're at the mercy of traveling south or traveling west the entire time. And then when you get to conference play, everyone sort of beats each other up. So mm-hmm. if you don't have a majority of schools in your conference that have a dominant non-conference schedule before they start playing each other, the RPI will then work against
Everything's
you.
Everything's already sort of albatross. Yeah.
I want to pull from a person, a gentleman, maybe, okay. I don't know, on Reddit named Squirrel Q Esquire.
Thanks.
Okay. This involves my alma mater, but it's a really good portrait of like how bad it is in college baseball.
Okay.
They said, I feel the need to point out an example of the gulf between the Big Ten and the SEC. In 2023, Ole Miss was the worst team in the SEC by a fairly healthy margin. They went 6-24 in the SEC. That's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss was 8-1 against the Big Ten, including 3-1 against the Big Ten champions, Maryland.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild that the worst team in the SEC by a big margin would likely have been the favorite to win the Big Ten. That is more than an uphill battle. So there's also a thought here, and I assume this is an Ole Miss fan talking. It seems that 2/3 of the Big Ten Conference has no real interest in putting support in place for baseball, which is why every year there might be one or two teams in an at-large range from the Big Ten, but there are others, the opponents that they play in the conference,
yeah.
languish in the sub-100s in the RPI.
So, okay. So to pause briefly, we are looking at two – to go but all the way back to your original question about, like, does the sport need to be national to work?
Mm-hmm.
On the hockey side, it's a question of just like participation. Like there are just big swaths of the country that don't have a Division I hockey team that can contend for the Frozen Four. So it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd have to find hockey players.
Yes. You'd have to start up a team. You'd have to go through. Mm-hmm. And there is sort of a like there's an interesting sort of telephone effect in both cases here, or network effect really is what I mean, in both cases where if you're an SEC school, it's not that enticing to be like, let's start a hockey program because who are you going to play? You don't. The rest of the SEC isn't doing it. You kind of need like, okay, can I get, I don't know, 8 other schools in my region to get sure. on board with this? By the same token, it's kind of easy to keep going with baseball in the Big Ten because it's like, well, I mean, I don't know. Everyone else has one, so you know it's not that big of a pain for us to keep. There's an inertia quality in both sides.
There is inertia, but there's also a growing sense of embarrassment at the Big Ten level.
Sure.
Because the Big Ten is dominant, or I mean, look, the last two football national championships come from the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten was sort of America's first nationally recognized conference.
Yeah,
it's a marquee brand.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sport,
a brand that's happy to be like, hey, look at all these athletes we got at the Olympics.
This is a problem of optics. Mm-hmm. Because the Southeastern Conference, I guess to your point, could also say, not only who are we going to play, but like, yo, dog, we're in Alabama.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
How many sheets of ice we got?
Right.
So it doesn't work that way when squarely in the heart of Big Ten country, you have people who are like, if the Cubs don't win another World Series, I'll die.
Yeah,
or, you know.
Right.
I'm a Yankees fan first and a Rutgers fan fifth.
Yes.
You know,
yep,
like.
Yep. I know people who fit both of those profiles, but we're not going to dwell on that.
Okay. That's the problem with perception here. Mm-hmm. Understanding and acknowledging as we walk through this exercise, these are different sports in different ways.
Yeah.
One's a lot harder to play, too, and more expensive, I can say, as a parent.
Yeah.
One of these is way more expensive. My God, what are you people thinking? It wasn't always like this in College World Series, but America wasn't always like this either. The first thing I could find in terms of like a College World Series champion where it snows there is Wichita State.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So kind of similar to the like Omaha region of like, all right, 1989, they won the College World Series.
Yep.
Before that, Ryan, it's 1966. And that was a true Midwestern champion because it was Ohio State.
Okay.
So I thought, like, my first thought was like, oh, maybe they had some, I don't know, some bangers, like some ringers.
Mm-hmm.
They had like two guys that got drafted at all, both in the late, you know, like the Major League Baseball has 200 rounds.
Yeah.
One, I think one was 16 and one at 18 or 12, 14th round, whatever. Okay. It was not filled with like, you know, oil can shoebox Carlson or whatever. Like that's more of a 1930s joke, I guess. But it was funny to me though, because in the 50s and 60s, Michigan, Minnesota, both won multiple national titles.
Yep.
Holy Cross has a national championship.
Yep.
Holy Cross is in Massachusetts, I believe. It's in New England. I know that. Point is,
it is in Massachusetts. You're right.
All right. Thanks. That's all. Massachusetts, yeah. New England, same thing.
Minnesota, did you say?
Yeah. Two.
Ohio State.
They have two.
Yeah.
So what's different about America in the 50s and 60s? In short, because this is going to be a brief podcast, literally fucking everything. Okay. In the 1950s, one, I mentioned this to someone older than me, and they said the real explanation for that is air conditioning.
I was going
to
say air conditioning.
It's just air conditioning.
Yeah, sure.
Because you don't have 200 Florida high schools cranking out Cy Young Award winners on the consistent because people have not settled Florida.
Yeah.
Like, it's still considered like a horizon to be conquered.
Outlander territory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It still is.
But there is one school I'm mentioning here that could fall into the cold weather category.
Oregon State.
Oregon State.
Oregon State.
You and I had an interesting conversation off mic about Oregon State when I was pitching this as an idea. Oregon State is, by the way, in the current College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a very dated program. But as of right now, they have three national titles in the modern era.
Yep.
2006, 2017, and 2018 under one head coach, Pat Casey, who kind of took a job no one wanted in his 30s and turned it into national power, I guess, is the only way I could describe it, right? Like, because especially those two, the later titles, that's smack dab when the SEC is just trading out titles. To wit, Ryan, that 2023 Ole Miss team I mentioned that only had six wins in the SEC was coming off of a national championship.
Yes, a national championship where they barely made the field as well.
They were the last team in the field.
Yeah, so it's not like they were coming off, oh my God, our best season ever, or something.
Ole Miss
like that
was the last team in and the lowest ranked team.
And a controversial team as a result, right.
And won the entire tournament.
And won the tournament.
That's the power of the SEC right now.
Yeah.
So how? Why? What? Oregon State? If you're from that part of the country, you understand that like weather can be a concern in a sport where, you know, they stop the game if it rains.
Yeah.
So
you gave me an answer to this that really flabbergasted me. So
yes.
Okay.
No, we'll take the listeners in. We were rattling stuff off and I said, I think you were like, well, what about Oregon State?
Yeah.
We're in the car or something. And I was like, yeah, Phil Knight. And you're like, no, that's Oregon. I go, no, but I think it was Phil Knight. I still think it was Phil Knight. Ryan, it was Phil Knight. A writer named Jason Quick in The Oregonian, sort of building out the profile of how this became a power program. This was in 2014. This is before their second and third national title. Pat Casey, this coach, gets this job. And if you're a believer in a vision board, this is your Huckleberry. Because this guy just walked in to a situation, shitty equipment, shitty facilities, no history of winning whatsoever. Yeah, right. No real interest at Oregon State of like, we're a baseball school.
Yeah.
No. This guy just said, why not us? So many times that you can't help but feel inspired. To the point of, Ryan, he dared to call a meeting with Nike founder and University of Oregon alum Phil Knight to ask for funding. So he goes to Phil Knight and says, hey, could you just give us money to like make a good baseball program? Rival school.
Yeah.
In the South, he'd have been shot on sight. He not only got the meeting, he got the money. Helping spike and upgrade in facilities that now rank among the conference's best. By the way, that conference is the Pac-12. Again, RIP. He, this is Pat Casey, dared to lobby the conference coaches and school presidents to allow the northern schools in that region of the West to merge with the baseball-rich southern schools. Before 1999, the Beavers played in the Northern Division, or NORPAC, which at times included Portland State, Portland, Gonzaga, Washington, Washington State, Oregon, and Eastern Washington. In 1998, they allowed Oregon State to play 9 non-counting conference games against UCLA, Arizona, and USC. All those schools have titles. The Beavers swept UCLA and Arizona and won 1 of the 3 against the Trojans, who won the national title that year. The next year, the conference merged the North and the South, allowing Casey greater exposure and recruiting possibilities. And he dared to believe that the Beavers belonged. That's sort of it. That's the story. The only thing that I didn't mention in there that was pulled from that original story by Quick was he did the sort of, we're going to draw a line in recruiting. Mm-hmm. Like that, we hear that spiel in football and basketball a lot.
Yeah.
But he really did it. So what he did was he went into the states of Washington, even into Northern California, into all parts of Oregon, but also like the Plain States, the Northern Plain States, that whole sort of like upper left corner of our nation's map.
Yep.
And said, hey, you might get a look by like Stanford was the example he uses in the story. Stanford was a baseball power for a minute. Why not come here? And so if you were a good kid in Seattle and you thought like you were good at, you were going to play college baseball, you weren't good enough to go to the majors at 17,
right,
but you wanted to get a scholarship, go to college, and you dreamed of going to UCLA, this school that's much, much closer by just said, hey, why not us?
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That's the story. That's what's so amazing. So to answer the question on how do you expand the sport, I think you just have to have that sort of like borderline hilariously naive vision and just give it a damn shot. Because again, Ryan, as we record this, they're in the College World Series again.
Yes.
And they don't even have a conference.
And it's not surprising.
As we record this, Oregon State doesn't even have a conference. They're technically in a Pac-12 that has 2 teams.
Right.
That's what's amazing about this. Now, you mentioned the Arizona State Sun Devil men's ice hockey team.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing, because you didn't do the research I did, how did this happen? What's your theory?
I'm going to say...
You're from Tampa, so I feel like you should maybe have this theory
all
in
right,
your bones.
All right. I'm going to throw this out. I'm spitballing here. Retired hockey players with nothing to do said, we want to get hockey going at Arizona State.
Well, basically they're kids.
Okay.
Okay. That and this is a joke, but I swear to God, I bet you can actually find it. Arizona was the number one WITSEC location for a long time. And so most of the movements in WITSEC were from the Northeast to the state of Arizona.
Sure.
Seriously, that's why there's so many Yankee and Cub fans. Figure out what those cities were doing in the 50s and 60s. The actual answer is
welcome to Gambino Pavilion.
Hockey began as a sport at Arizona State in the fall of 83, only because students started to gather at something called Tower Ice Plaza in Phoenix to play pickup hockey.
Okay.
It became a club team.
Yep.
And it kept growing and it kept growing. So they finally got certified as a Division II team, and they simply kept moving up until, let's go all the way to 2014, when then athletic director Ray Anderson, don't ask about anything else he did at Arizona State for the purpose of this story, announced the Sun Devils were going to become an NCAA Division I ice hockey program.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as simple as us walking out and saying, man, there's a lot of Yankees who moved here and they like to play this sport. They got a $32 million donation that was drawn together by several individuals, including former club hockey players who had gone on from Arizona State to run successful businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I find this interesting and a little bit kind of sweet because it wasn't like, I went to Arizona State and I loved the Jake Plummer football team era.
Sure.
It was like, no, like I played pickup hockey with my buddies.
It was awesome.
Because my parents are from Minneapolis, but we moved to Arizona because, I mean, half the state is snowbirds.
Yeah.
And if there's a chance for them to play, you know, against Boston University or against Minnesota, like, why not? Again, why not us? $32 million worth of why not us allowed them to build facilities and a stadium, Ryan, that was good enough to do what up until recently?
They were independent.
No. The facilities were good enough
to do what? I thought...
We have another episode about this.
Yes. Briefly, be the home of an NHL team, of the Coyotes.
Before the Phoenix Coyotes left.
Yeah.
and moved to Utah, where they are now called the Mammoth.
Yes.
We just settled that. Yes.
That's right.
They played in Arizona
for
State's
two
facility,
seasons, I want to say.
Because there was an. We won't get into all that. Sure. The NHL is a fun. It's a fun story.
Okay.
That's how good Arizona State's facilities were.
Yeah.
They received an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament with the Frozen Four, essentially, in the 2018-19 season. That was only its third as a Division I team. They lost to Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac is a defending. I don't know if they won the national title that year, but Quinnipiac is a national title winning program. And if you know where Quinnipiac is, you're from a particular part of the country. They've finished this year in the top 25. Okay. They are consistent enough to be considered a program that would make sense if someone were to now commit to play hockey.
Yes.
Do you remember what Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots said about his recruiting trip to the University of Arizona, my friend?
I don't.
Okay, basically the short of it is, and I said this back to Rich Rodriguez, like face-to-face with him when he was head coach of Arizona, and even Rich Rodriguez, who is of a particular sort of way, if you will, and that way it's redneck, was like, hey, you should not put that in the article. Gronk said, I took a visit there. Gronk's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I took a visit there, another hockey town, and there were people in a hot tub in February, and I said, I'm going to college here. That's it. That's the story. He saw people, men and women, in a hot tub in February, and that was it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Arizona State is destined to upend the entire fabric of college hockey.
Sure.
But it's a pretty good idea if you're going to recruit people who like to play hockey that may not necessarily want to live in the, you know,
in hockey weather,
the gray death of hockey territory.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, do you need the entire nation for a sport to be successful at the collegiate level? What is success? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to leave it at this. I've yet to find a person who has not been to the Frozen Four, which, if you don't know, rotates locations much like the Final Four does.
Yep.
Okay. And by the way, your hometown, Tampa, Florida, has hosted the Frozen Four before. Okay. It's not just where you think it was. This year it was in St. Louis, for instance. It's usually in an NHL arena.
Yeah.
And they move it around. So it's not just Boston and Minneapolis. Yep. Okay. St. Paul. Sorry, Wild. It's St. Paul. I saw Pearl Jam shows there. That's why I know that. If you go and you care, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the common thread to both of these, and to kind of the Oregon State and the Arizona State story, and to maybe Big Ten baseball, is want to.
Yes.
Like, to borrow a term from Holly Anderson. What? I mean, other people say it too, but she's who I associate it with internally. Like, the Big Ten has a lack of want to in baseball. And I'm not even necessarily saying that that's wrong, but that's the weirdness of having the SEC schools that clearly don't have a want to in hockey right now, at least aren't doing it. It's not like,
I'll say it one more time. I will acknowledge the SEC can get away with saying, well, of course we don't play hockey.
Yes.
Whereas the rest of the country looks at the Big Ten and they're like, man, you guys should be better at baseball.
But they're also, and part of that trickiness is that these are legacy things. It's not like the SEC had hockey teams and then was like, screw it, we're not having these anymore.
No, there is no like famous Mississippi State Ice Dogs that like won a national title in 45 or something.
And I am certain, because these are big schools with big alumni bases, I'm sure there are people in the Big Ten footprint who are like, I'm pissed off that Ohio State baseball isn't good. I'm pissed off that Minnesota baseball isn't good. They're probably not wealthy or noisy enough to like create the sort of like want to that we're talking about, but that doesn't mean it doesn't matter to that segment.
Every summer, my family, we do like, we road trip up to like the way, way northeast, upstate New York, way upstate. And I'm always shocked at the number of minor league baseball teams in that part of the country and the attendance figures. People love baseball. Like you can't argue with me on that. I can't think of a more Big Ten state in my head for some reason than like Illinois or maybe Iowa.
Okay.
Iowa has the AAA Cubs team, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Illinois has the Cubs.
Yes.
Like that's an Illinois-Iowa college
White
football.
Sorry, Sox, you get nothing.
Shut up.
By the time this comes out, who knows if the White Sox.
I honestly didn't even think. Like, you got the Pope. Like, okay. You got the Pope.
All right.
You got an entire religion. Don't ask how it's going. if you close your eyes and thought of a Big Ten football game, I think you'd be pretty hard pressed. Like Illinois, Iowa, right?
Sure.
That baseball works. Is ubiquitous.
Yeah.
I understand that it's not going to get any warmer in February. Well, that's not true. Okay. It's slowly getting warmer in February, but this is always going to be a hindrance in terms of scheduling.
Yeah.
The idea that that could not be overcome if there's an ice hockey team in Arizona, to me, feels a little false. The RPI math in Sherman's article, I'm not questioning it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that throwing your hands up and saying they're all against us or they're not, like, you know, we're being boxed out just because of weather.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like is a step disingenuous.
But maybe, but that assumes that it has to be. Like, let me go back to, like, the core of your question. Does baseball baseball and softball, frankly, do they have to be a priority for this part of the country?
No, they don't. But if I'm an executive at ESPN,
yeah,
and it's a little skewed because you and I live in a place, and we're in Nashville, we're in Southeastern Conference territory, yeah, where the College World Series is, I would argue, almost now a bigger deal than college basketball.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not a national sport. It has a fraction of the audience.
Here's what will be interesting, I think, going forward. We've talked about the new Big Ten editions that made the larger College World Series, the tournament as a whole.
The LA, yeah, the West Coast.
Yes. Yes, and Oregon. And, like, the fact that there is meaningful college baseball in parts of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're new parts, but they're parts all the same. How is that going to, like, that's sort of the interesting disconnect that's going to move forward here. Because, like I said, in the South, there's no, like, well, half this league cares about hockey and the other half doesn't. And I wonder if you will, like, is there a path here where you sort of say, you know what? We're not going to worry about the Big Ten sponsoring baseball and softball, but where it makes sense, we want those teams to invest, mm-hmm, and invest heavily. And, like, this is where we have to remind the listener, a lot of the listeners already know this, you don't have to, like, in lots of the other sort of sports, the, like, click down for more sports on your team's thing.
Yeah.
You can be in all kinds of conferences.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know? Definitely. You can, including, like, big name conferences where you're like, wait, we're in the Big 12 in this?
I briefly mentioned Gonzaga, but I'm, without looking, I think they're in a different conference for almost every damn sport.
Right. Like, Florida competes in lacrosse in the Big 12.
Okay.
Florida's a Big 12 team.
Okay.
So I wonder if that isn't maybe the way to accomplish what you're talking about and sort of say, like, let's see if we can make the sport a little more national.
Sure.
But do it in a way, like,
or what about, yeah, the, what about this?
Yeah.
Instead of, although I do believe that the Big Ten is complaining too much.
Okay.
And also, like, by the way, the rest of America is not going to stop and wait on you and, like, all right, first pitch is April 1st.
Yeah.
It's still freaking but snowing are, in part
okay,
of the country.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what about this? What about instead going to the SEC and saying, like, I think I have to go back to the original argument.
Satellite campus?
No, 25 years ago, saying, like, hey, Boise State having blue turf and people really giving a shit in Boise, Idaho about college football
was good for college football.
Is also
as a
good
whole.
For LSU and Georgia.
Yeah.
And which
stretches,
I believe.
And stretches way down the line to, yes, as recently as last year.
So, yeah. But it
relies on decisions and intention.
In that Casey story,
yeah,
it kind of gets glossed over in the way that I was reading it. Dude, those schools in the southern side of the Pacific had to agree to play him.
Yeah.
USC, UCLA, all of those schools said, yeah, we'll play you. So maybe in college baseball, the way is not to say, like, all right, Michigan and Minnesota, I don't give a shit. We're going to play in February. We're all going to have preseason tournament. And they do, like, you know, the Mississippi schools will play in the Ranger Stadium against TCU and Texas Tech and stuff like that. Why not say, all right, Michigan, come down and do a 3-game series with Florida? Shit, half of Michigan's fan base lives there anyway. That type of, I guess you could view it as selflessness, but it builds the sport, right? That would make college baseball better, right?
I disagree with you. Here's why.
But what if the Frozen Four not have, at least for 1 year, a better rating if the University of Georgia had a team?
Yes, but I think that ignores sort of like everything. Like, no, here's why.
Okay.
The University of Georgia, it's the difference between having a team and having a team that, like, you're you're really trying with and that you're really investing.
Oh, no, no, no. In my hypothetical, Georgia's in the tournament.
Okay.
They're playing.
Yeah, sure. Yes. I think it would grow the game of hockey, college hockey as a whole, if you had more geographic diversity in terms of like where these teams came from and where the good teams came from.
You're also not sitting with the vision in my head, which is you're very familiar with the University of Georgia's fan base. And I want to see them at like...
Barking at a...
I want to see them in the tunnels in Boston.
Sure. Sure.
With those fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the scenario I'm building in
some
my head.
Some sort of Ugga bean pot that you're building here. And that's great.
A lot of guys in khakis in March.
I mean,
fist fighting Boston people.
I think it's an interesting question you've raised here. And I think to me, what's really stark about it is that the problems in hockey, or the hurdles, I should say, in hockey are very clear.
Yeah.
They're about infrastructure and about collective involvement
and money.
Both of those things, I would argue, infrastructure and collective involvement are money based in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I think that's probably true in baseball and softball as well. Like we were talking with a friend the other day about how like part of the problem with running a college baseball team in the Big Ten's northern footprint is maintenance. Like maintaining those fields at that time of year sucks. It's very different from having to do it in Louisiana and Florida and South Carolina.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's not harder or I'm saying it's different.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying there are college baseball stadiums that use field turf.
No, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And dirt is dirt.
Dirt, what an eloquent way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do you think the College World Series or the Women's College World Series, do you think they suffer because they don't have the level of investment and desire all across the country that men's and women's basketball, for instance,
factoring softball into this, to me, the conversation has to start with the women's modifier.
Okay.
Because I think what women's sports, what's happening right now in the last 5 years is so unique and was in the making for so many decades and involves a factor here that we haven't discussed, which is the gender divide. And I do think women as a viewership group are showing up and kicking the door in.
Yes.
Regardless of regionality.
Yes. And
I think men are much more patterned and honestly, they've been catered to their entire lives as sports fans and they're lazy because of it.
Yeah. There are also some things like the Women's College World Series, including this year, even though they didn't make the final, had a like all-time dynasty. They had things that like between all-time dynasty and like million-dollar player, they had things that could be interesting and attractive to you even if you didn't root for one of these schools or weren't paying attention or weren't from a school that paid attention to this.
I guess it's funny because like you've heard me say this off mic in just meetings that you and I have been in or people we've discussed, like the industry side of sports.
Yeah.
Women's sports feels really, really smart as an investment opportunity, as a media opportunity. Like everything feels like everything's headed north. We're in the black. We're like revenue is coming.
It's a growth opportunity.
Whereas I look at the Frozen Four in the College World Series and they both are still defined by regionality and a niche characteristic.
Yeah.
That I know for a fact, people at Bristol, for instance, would love to amplify those numbers up. And believe me, as happy as networks are that women's sports are drawing viewers, there's just as many white men in the room who are saying, who don't understand why 2.86 is the largest total they could get for a men's college final when the women are blowing that out of the water.
All right. Well, here's where I'm going to land. Here's where I'm going to land on the no side of your question and why I think these sports still work, including the Frozen Four. They have something that still works in college basketball as well and is harder to find in football, but it's still one of the things that makes football fun. There is still a sense that there is a place, and not just a token place, not just say like, here's the spot we have to give you for the little guy. Murray State is a great example of it this year, but like Denver, how many times, like my grandfather played football at Denver and famously was like, I'm never giving them money after they disbanded the football team. But most people have never thought about DU.
Right. or BU.
Yes. And I think like part of the appeal of these tournaments, even if they don't have like the full national scale that you're talking about, they are still places where we get to see David versus Goliath, where we get to see like big brand you've always heard of who's, you know, going to be competing for the college football playoff versus like little school that didn't exist 30 years ago.
So you're scaring me now, because what you're doing is you're saying that if I were to advance this to a more nationalized sport, it would become – by the way, when I say a more nationalized sport, I mean a more lucrative one.
Yeah.
Would it then become flooded with the usual suspects?
I don't know. And so maybe the way I'm spinning this is that
in we haven't had to talk about Greg Sankey in hockey yet.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Isn't that nice? Plus, maybe think of it this way. In baseball, the Big Ten's loss is the Sun Belt's gain.
Real fast before we go.
Yeah.
Most annoying Southeastern Conference fan base, were they to be a hockey power? We're leaving the dead air in. It scares me that my...
Texas.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think they'd just be like, see, we're good at everything.
It would just scare me if Ole Miss found a sport where an all-white roster could win a national title.
Wait till they find out what the Columbus Blue Jackets are themed after. They won't like that one bit. Thank you to Homefield, to our producer, Michael Serber, and to you, kind listener, for joining us on this episode of Phantom Island. If you'd like to sign up to be a paid member and get access to every episode we do, head over to phantomisland.show and choose from one of our membership levels today. And last but not least, I would be remiss if I did not shout out the LSU Tigers, who, since we recorded this episode, won their 8th College World Series title, second only to USC all time.